Walking with Jesus. This is the seventh message we've had now as we've been walking with Jesus these last 7 weeks. I love it. I've been really getting a lot out of it. Actually, as I leave here after preaching, it continues to, you know, like I usually say, the afterburn. And so even on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm still thinking about the message on Sunday. And it's just really been impactful in my life about walking with Jesus. And as we continue to walk with Jesus this week, I want you to know that it is not the end, okay? We don't stop here. Now that Pastor Joe says that this is the last message in the series, this particular series, it doesn't end here, because next week we will continue our walk, only with a different mode or mood or attitude. As we walk, we will be dying with Jesus. The next 6 weeks, the Easter experience. And today's message is going to be all about faith and where we are in our personal walk with Jesus Christ, and the faith that we have, that we've been given, and how it has grown. And that faith, we are going to absolutely have it to endure the next 6 weeks as we go through the Easter experience. Because the Easter experience is going to be about the death, and we are going to die with Christ. In reference to the old man. But we're going to watch as the disciples watch Jesus go through his last days, as he's celebrated to go into Jerusalem. With the very mouths that praised him, said, "Crucify him." And we're going to walk and we're going to see that. So you need the faith. So that's what today's about. We've had a wonderful walk and the experience was wonderful. Now it's time to have that ultimate Easter experience and die with Jesus the next 6 weeks. We have walked with Jesus and have experienced many things. I mean, we've taken a look at how he gathered up his disciples. We've taken a look at some of the things that he had done, cast out devils and whatever. And this morning, it's a twofold miracle. We're going to take a look at one of his miracles. Now, he has had many miracles up to this point, but now he's going to do this one miracle that took a lot of faith, a lot of faith. This miracle was found in Mark chapter 5. And we're going to begin in verse 21, but I want to just read the first couple of verses from 21 to 24. So turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, and we're going to take a look at 21 down through 24, and then we'll expound a little bit on that. "And when Jesus was passed over again by the sea unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Now, right from the beginning, right from the very beginning, we see this, we were introduced to a man named Jairus. Jairus is a religious leader. He is the leader of the synagogue. He's the most powerful person. He is a powerful person in the community, and everybody knows him. It's not like he's some nobody that nobody knows him. This guy has some status. He's a holy man, he's well known, and one who believed in God. He was a holy man. I'm sure that, and we'll call him Pastor Jairus just for fun, okay? I'm sure that Jairus had many occasions where he went to the hospital to visit a dying child. I'm sure that he had many occasions to go home visit or do whatever as a pastor would do. Some tragedy or some sickness in somebody else's life. And this man was well respected. And now he faced his own real tragedy. I can't even imagine. I don't want to imagine what that would be like to have a dying daughter at death's door. He says, my little daughter lays at the point of death. Notice that Jairus didn't hide. He came out in broad daylight. Now, you'll remember a few years ago, I preached on Nick at night, right? Nicodemus came out at night because he didn't want any. Well, there's a lot of things that there's a lot of reasons that may or may not have been, but he came out at night probably because he didn't want anybody else to see him because he was a leader in the synagogue also. But Jairus was so bold that he said, I'm going out to Jesus. When you get that desperate, it really doesn't matter, does it? When you're that desperate, that's when most people come to Jesus. When something devastating happens. No, he came in broad daylight and fell at the feet of Jesus. He fell at his feet. Unfortunately, it sometimes takes a tragedy in our lives to come to Jesus and bow before him as Lord. That's my personal story. That was my personal story. It took a life-changing event to happen. You see, I believed in God. I knew there was a God. I knew there was a Jesus. I even went to church on occasion. I was a, what do they call them? Christers. I went to church on Christmas and I went to church on Easter. Christer. But that's what I was. Until I was brought to my knees. And was devastated. Don't wait. If you're here this morning and you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as Lord over your life, we're going to give you an opportunity to do just that this morning. And I would suggest you do that. Because there is no promise of tomorrow. No promise that anybody is going to wake up tomorrow morning, whether it's daylight savings time or not. The only breath that you're promised is the one you're taking right now. The only breath, the only heartbeat that you are promised is the one that's beating in your heart right now. No others. So take that opportunity when it's brought to you. Remember what the scene looks like. Jesus just gets off the shore. He just gets off the boat. He is at the height of his popularity. There's a crowd around him. It's all around him. This is the height of Jesus' popularity. Somehow, Jairus gets to Jesus. Somehow, through this big crowd. This guy is so desperate that he pushes his way, shoves his way. Whatever he does, he gets to Jesus. No matter what it takes, he knew that he wanted Jesus right now. That was his only hope. And then he fell at his knees. Look at verse 23, and it says, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. He falls at Jesus' feet and tells him that his daughter is sick, and come to my house and lay hands on her, and that she will be healed. Jairus had confidence in Jesus. He knew that was going to happen, because remember, he's already had miracles. He's already cast devils out. He just came from the other side of the sea, and he just cast out a devil into all those swine and everything. You know what? The doctors had tried all that they could try on this little girl, and I'm sure that they did everything that was humanly possible to get this girl well again. But he knew Jesus could. And I'm confident in Jesus that he can. He can. He can work a miracle in your life. It was Jairus' faith that compelled Jesus to follow him. Now remember, right now, Jesus is on his way following Jairus to his house. It's interesting that The text doesn't say that Jesus said anything. He didn't say anything. Jairus said, "This is what's going on." Jesus just turned and followed him. He just went. Verse 24, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Can you imagine how Jairus is feeling right now? Okay? "Jesus is coming to my house." Woohoo! Right? "Jesus is coming to my house. He's going to make my daughter well. She's going to live. It's going to be all great. Everybody's going to be happy. There's going to be a great big celebration. Jesus is on his way. How happy can you be? He's coming to save my little girl." The weight of the world must have been just lifted off of his shoulders, right? "Jesus is coming. You know, all I had to do was follow at his feet and ask him to come and help my daughter, and there you go." And then the interruption. And then the interruption happens. Take a look at 25 down through 34. Let's see what happens here. "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt it in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who toucheth my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Wow. Isn't it always that? Just when you think everything is going good, and the expression is, life is good, amen? Got enough money, life is good, marriage is good, finances are good, you have enough money in the bank, you have enough, a little extra money in the bank, all things are good. And then the interruption. Now your faith is on trial. How do you handle it? I'll tell you. This show here, the Jodens gave it to me the other day to watch. I don't know how many have seen it. It's called Montemental. You have to see this. You have to see this, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian. This right here talks about how America was founded. Okay? The true story, how America was founded. And kids over there, wake up. Georgia, pay attention. Unless you're looking at the Bible in your phone. That's the only way you can use it. All right? You need to watch this, because what I learned in school was not the truth. But what I learned here was the truth. Of course, and what I learned here is the truth. Amen. Just to give you a snapshot, and you'll see how it relates to what we're talking about. You have some faithful men, the Puritans, that were persecuted because they had a Bible because they wanted to read God's word for themselves. They don't want a king interpreting that for them. They wanted to see it for themselves. So they wanted a Bible written in their own language. And they were persecuted for that. So they went to Holland and then some other things, and then they went over came to America based on the word of God. And I'll tell you what, that first year was horrific. It was, they lost women and children, died because of the stuff. And there was a ship outside, and they said, we're going back to England. You want to go back with us? The easy thing would have said, yeah. See, and that's what happens in our relationships too, our marriage, okay? Sometimes our marriages, we say, the easy thing is just to get a divorce and start all over again. The hard thing is to say no. Let me tell you something and write it down. If you do the right thing long enough, God will bless you in the long run. You do the right thing. It's hard. It was hard for those people. But they said, no, we have to have our belief. We believe in Jesus Christ. This nation was founded on Jesus Christ and his word. And I'm going to try. We're going to see if we can get the rights to do this and maybe have a popcorn night here at the church and view it, because it's an awesome video. It really will give you some things that I didn't know, that I wasn't told. But it's about faith. It's about our faith. This is what's going on. You know, the interruptions in my life and yours are not there to harm us. They weren't there to harm them. It was there to strengthen us and to refocus my attention and your attention on God. Take our eyes off of ourselves and put the focus directly on God's sufficiency. See, that's where it's at. It's not about you and I and how much money we have and all the stuff we have. You know what? It's about his sufficiency. It's all about God. Amen? This interruption for Jairus would be used to elevate his faith to another level. This interruption was made by a woman who had been this way for 12 years. Come on, can't you wait another few minutes until we get done with this? No, that wasn't the design, because she could have. She's been sick for 12 years. She could wait. Wait, Jesus, I'll be back. No, Jesus thought it was important to stop right then and there and say, wait, whoa, what's going on? She spent all her money on doctors, but continued to even get worse. And now she is broken. She is a broken woman. A broken life. Many of us came here this morning broken. Broken. Of whatever it is, we've come broken. We don't want to leave that way, do we? No, there's a lot of stuff. Man, I'll tell you what. A lot of stuff that we carried in here. Man, just leave it here. Leave it here. She was a social outcast. She couldn't even worship because of her problem. She couldn't be in a crowd. Actually, she could have been stoned for being in that crowd, because she was considered unclean. Actually, just for later on today, when you go home and you want that afterburn a little bit, okay? Go read Leviticus chapter 15. It'll talk to you about it. About being how she was unclean. Here Jesus is dealing with this social outcast when it seems as though he should be dealing with the ruler of the synagogue, right? The daughter of the person who was the higher up, who had status, social status. You know what? There's a lesson here too. That Jesus is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care whether you are wealthy and well-educated or you are living under a bridge. Really doesn't care. He loves you all the same. Amen? He wants you to come to him. And he'll be right there. He'll be knocking on your door saying, let me in. Your heart's door, let me in, let me in. And that's your choice. He loves the lowliest of outcasts in society, and he loves the rich and famous. The Lord is not looking for wealth, nor position, nor power. All he is looking for is someone with enough faith. Just enough faith. This woman was healed because of her faith. Can you imagine what Jairus is thinking now? All right, of this interruption? Yes. If he can heal this girl, he certainly can heal my daughter, right? And while he may have been celebrating, it didn't last long. Jairus is about to have his world rocked. Take a look at verse 35 and down through 43. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Kind of reminds me, I'll stop there for a second. Kind of reminds me of Job. They didn't finish telling him one thing, and another guy came and started, right? Some devastating news. Well, this is some devastating news. This will stop you. This will make your heart stop when you get something like this. Your little girl, now she's 12 years old. It says later on, your little girl just died, 12 years old. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Now, when you're going through the troubles of life, when you're going through all the stuff that we always go through, think about this. Plaster that right on your forehead or on the palm of your hand or wherever you can see it, on your refrigerator. Be not afraid. Only believe. Amen. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he came, cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the turmoil, and them that wept and wailing greatly. And when he was come in, he said to them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel was not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them out, all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and they and them that were with him, which is James and John, and the son of James, and entered into where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talithai kuma, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Now, Jesus gets interrupted. So he's talking to this lady who's had the issue for 12 years, and he's still talking to the woman, and this message comes from Jairus' house telling them that his daughter had died. Don't bother Jesus. Don't bother him now. No sense in bringing him out here anymore. You can just see Jairus' face, right? You can just see the color just go right out of his face. And saddened. He must have been devastated. His little girl is gone. Wow. Jesus just tells him, don't be afraid, only believe. All too often, this is where you and I as believers fail. The word, when I'm talking about now, Jesus Christ is the word, amen? Okay, just take a look at John 1:1. He is the word. And so that word, he came out and he said, be not afraid, only believe. The word went right to Jairus as soon as the bad news arrived. So what happened? Jesus gave him the word right away. Here you go. Here's the word. When we receive bad news, we spend too much time doing everything else before going to God's Word. We do. Well, maybe I can try to do this, or maybe I'll try and do that, or maybe somebody can help me out in this manner, or whatever, and you go back and forth, and then when you are completely broken and you cannot do anything else, and nothing else is humanly possible, when the situation is dead, like the daughter, right? Then you decide, I'll go to the Word of God. I'll go to the throne of Almighty God. He can do something. We fall out, we cry, we complain, we ask, why me? Then at our breaking point, we go to Jesus, and Jesus immediately comforts Jairus. As far as Jesus is concerned, death is no greater a challenge than healing a sickness. Amen? If he can heal the little girl with her sickness, he certainly can raise her from the dead. If he could restore health, he certainly could restore life. And that's what he does for the dead. See, I was dead at one time, and he restored life in me. Amen? How about you? When Jesus told Jairus to not be afraid and just believe, he is not minimizing Jairus' situation. All right? Jairus' situation is real. The thing that he's dealing with is real. Some of the things that you're dealing with are real. They are. And they're devastating, and there's some bad things going on in our lives. But it was not going to be the ultimate outcome. So they get to the house where the little girl is, and he asks why everyone is weeping. And look what they say in verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn. I think we have all been there a time or two. When you were dead in your sin and someone told you how great it was, this zealous Christian came to you, and I can remember that. See, I was a truck driver. And while I was driving my truck, and I would come into to UPS, and I would sit down in the cafeteria and smoke my cigarette and have my iced tea before I got in my truck and left, there was a Christian there. His name was John. And John used to beat me in the head with Jesus all the time. Amen. He did. He beat me in the head, and I didn't want to hear him. I laughed at him. I said, what are you, crazy? You crazy Christian? Praise God for John today. Yes. Praise God. But we do that. We laugh. I don't know whether you did that. Maybe you took it a little more seriously. Maybe you're here today and you are still dead in your sins and have never experienced Jesus Christ as Lord over your life. Maybe you're laughing inside. Don't laugh. Accept. Receive. So, verse 41 down through 43 says, and he took the damsel by her hand and said unto her, damsel, I say unto you, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. He raises her from the dead. Maybe this morning you're dead. Maybe the circumstances of your broken life has left you very empty. Maybe your marriage is in need of some restoration. Your finances might need someone more than a financial advisor. Maybe your life is in shambles. Whatever it is you're going through this morning, don't laugh at the invitation and allow it to pass by you. Jesus is here again to offer you a new life. He wants to resurrect your broken marriage, your broken life, your broken finances, whatever it is that you came in with this morning that's broken. He has got his hand out. It's stretched out to you this morning. Will you take it? Will you take it? Everybody stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. This morning, I know, because you're human, that you came in here with something on your mind. I know that. I know that some of you are broken, some of you are dead, have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord over your life. So this morning, if that's you, if that fits you, if you're dead, Jesus wants to raise you from the dead. He wants to enter into your heart and show you what life is really about. And I'm going to say a prayer in just a few moments. And if you would like to invite Christ into your heart, pray this invitation prayer with me. Now, if you are a believer and you do have Jesus Christ as Lord over your life, the altar is going to be here for you, because I know that being a Christian doesn't mean that everything's all happy all the time. Like Phil Robertson says, happy, happy, happy. Can't be that way all the time, right? And I know you have some issues. So I want you to come this morning, and the altar will be open while the band is playing a few songs, and I want you to just lay the burdens down so that you can leave here knowing that Jesus can take care of things. And then for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be dying with Jesus, so you're going to need a lot of faith. So won't you come, whatever your decision. I want to, for those who have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord over their life, pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I admit I am a sinner. I understand my sin has separated me from you. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me and rose again from the grave to offer me this gift of eternal life. I open the door to my heart and invite Christ in to be my personal Savior. Forgive me of my sins and make me your child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this. Amen. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, show of hands, who prayed that prayer this morning? Anybody pray that prayer this morning? I see those two hands. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else pray that prayer this morning? I'm not going to call you out. I'm just going to pray for you and know how to pray for you. All right. Well, the invitation is open. The altar is open. If you desire just to come and to worship God just for a few moments while the band plays, don't delay.
There is love that came for us, humble to a sinner's cross. You broke my shame and sinfulness. You rose again victorious. Faithfulness none can deny. Through the storm and through the fire, there is truth that sets me free. Jesus Christ, who lives in me. You are stronger. You are stronger. The city is broken. You have saved me. It is written. Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all. You are stronger. You are stronger. The sin is broken. You have saved me. It is written. Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all.
Father God, thank you for stretching out your hand to me. God, thank you for healing the broken here this morning. God, thank you for your examples in your word that show us that we can have faith in you, that you are the great healer. God, we thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for the new life, Father. Thank you, God. You make all things new. You have taken this broken life and made it new. Made a way for us. God, thank you. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.